Hello, good day to all of you. I am Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah. Indeed, it's my pleasure today to record lectures on tourism marketing. And I am honored to talk to you and share with you something on tourism marketing. So let's begin. Please listen to me and enjoy. The chapter one that I'm going to record today is Introducing Travel and Tourism. That's the topic for the day. Let's introduce travel and tourism first. And in this chapter, we will be learning and understanding the definition of travel and tourism. Further, we will understand the nature of travel and tourism industry for practical marketing purposes. Going further, we will understand the importance of tourism industry and growth potential. So we'll see step by step. Our learning objective in this unit will be also to know the emerging trend to the tourism industry. And we all know that tourism industry is a continuously growing industry. So we need to keep and understand the emerging trend that are currently going on. So let's first define what is travel and tourism. Starting with the definition for tourism, it is defined as a set of particular activities selected by choice and undertaken outside the home. So the element of choice is very important. People select a destination to go by choice and it happens outside the home, which means it doesn't happen within your own environment. You go out of your own environment or home. Now, further counting on, we talk about domestic tourism. We must understand what is domestic tourism. It refers to travel within the country that where we live. People who are resident and people who are netizen of the country are part of contributor towards domestic tourism. And they visit destination, location within their own country's boundary for tourism purposes. So again, let me explain to you further that all Indians living within India, including the resident who could be a foreign national, say for example, an engineer who has come to work for underground metro, or a foreign dignitary, or an ambassador living within India, taken India as its residence for over 1 year, when they travel within the country, say going from Delhi to Shimla, going from Mumbai to Bangalore, irrespective of their nationality, it falls under domestic tourism. So domestic tourism, in summary, means traveling within the country. We take further examples of understanding travel and tourism formats. And here we talk about inbound tourism. When inbound tourism occurs, when the natives of other countries visit a country with the intent to spend limited time for tourism purposes. So a group of German, a group of Japanese, a group of Chinese who would like to come to India, including the residents of UAE, Saudi Arabia, Canada, who are Indians. If they come to India, then it is part of inbound tourism. What is an outbound tourism? It is just opposite of what is inbound. In outbound tourism, it involves native residents traveling to another country for tourism purposes, with the intent to spend limited time in it. Let's give an example. An Indian staying in UAE or in Canada travels from UAE or Canada and travels down to China, possibly Japan, or any country. Then for that country, that travel is considered as an outbound tourism, including the resident or the natives or the netizens of those countries. When they leave their country, go outside of their country, then it is an outbound tourism. We again pick up some more formats in travel and tourism. And here we talk of internal tourism. What is it? It comprises domestic tourism and inbound tourism. So the combination of domestic tourists and those who have traveled from abroad to our country or any country are forming the internal tourism growth, contributor to international tourism, and then this is called the growth of internal tourism. Likewise, the opposite of that is international tourism, which comprises inbound tourism and outbound tourism. So, outbound tourism happening from India and people going to Germany, people going to Africa. Therefore, all that from India, it would be called an international tourism. This is where UNWTO accounts and they say is FTA, foreign tourist arrivals. So most of the statistic that you see of FTA coming in is part of this international tourism. Now, who are the contributors and the people who are end users in economical terms? What are they referred as? End users, first we pick up visitors. So all travelers who fall within agreed definition of tourism, which means they have gone for a short time of period outside their home boundaries, or those who have traveled within the country, out of their home, they will be called visitors. Also, we take another end user segment to understand this, and it refers to tourists who are the visitors who are staying somewhere. And who are they? Visitors who stay overnight at a destination. The most important thing here to be noticed is the night they have to spend somewhere, and they fall as a tourist staying visitors, which means they have spent night outside their home boundaries. We also have an example of end user, same day visitors. Now, what does this mean? Somebody traveling from Mumbai to Delhi, flight from Mumbai on a 7 o'clock morning flight and returned by 5 o'clock evening flight from Delhi to Mumbai after meeting some people or having a business meet, they are same day visitors. Likewise, those same day visitors do not spend night and they return on the same day. We also have excursionists. Who are these excursionists? Visitors staying less than 24 hours in a country. Now imagine a ship sailing from Caribbean, say Miami, and going down to Haiti, Jamaica, and so on. They just stop there. They get down from the cruise ship and come back on the ship again to sail in the night. They are excursionists. They are staying less than 24 hours. They are called excursionists. Let us also classify the word end user segments. Guests are known term for end users staying at the hotel. End users flying on an aircraft are passengers. Likewise, visiting a destination, they are referred as tourists. So these are different terms used to understand end users. which is purely an economical term used mostly, is tossed by US, and they are called end users, which means the beneficiary of the product that has been created, and they are the final users of that product. So different definition, but they are all end user, or in normal term, the consumer. Again, to conclude, guests are the end users staying at a hotel, passengers who are flying on an aircraft, and tourists who are using the facilities offered by tour operators. We have got now to look at how the UNWTO, United Nations Tourism, or World Tourism Organization defines the tourism, because that is an umbrella body looking after exclusively towards the tourism. And how does the definition goes? So that tourism compromises the activities of person traveling to and staying in places outside their usual environment for not more than one consecutive year. And what are they going for? They are going for leisure, business, and other purposes. So as you see, as per this definition, any activity taken by an end user or a traveler going for leisure, going for business, going for attending conferences, meeting incentives, exhibitions, medical tourism, and more such activities which are outside their home, but it should be within the limits of one full year, less than 1 year. So all those Indians who are staying in UAE, staying in Gulf, and they have been the resident, they will not be called tourists, though they are staying outside their home environment. So now we have understood what are end users. Now let's see how the international organization here, WTO, which also means UNWTO or United Nations Tourism, how it defines the tourism. It says that tourism comprises the activities of persons traveling and staying in places outside their usual environment for not more than one consecutive year for leisure, business, and other purposes. So as this suggests, the one who stays less than 1 year outside their home or outside their normal place of staying goes for either leisure or for business. Say, for example, meeting, incentives, conferences, exhibitions, or for other purposes like medical, like some religious activity, say like going for Kumbh Mela or say for Hajj and so on. They are all defined as activities related to tourism. So people travel and stay places outside their usual place where they stay, and they go for leisure, business, and other purposes, but less than 1 year. So if they stay more than 1 year, so they become resident of those countries. Like I give example of people traveling to US for job, or people staying in the Gulf countries for business or for employment. They have gone there and taken up the residency of those countries. So they don't fall, though they stay outside their home, outside their normal environment, they are not tourists because they have taken up employment outside their home for more than 1 year. So I hope this explanation defines the tourism to understand what activities fall under the definition of tourism. So we now start counting further onto that. as per the UNWTO or United Nations Tourism, what is further the definition? Same day visit. All the visitors are part of the market. It is not mandatory or compulsory to have the overnight stays. Same day visitors, I gave you example, somebody traveling from London to Paris for a business meeting, or someone going from Amsterdam to Frankfurt for a business meet on the same day and they return. Likewise, someone going from Mumbai to Delhi for a business meeting or a meeting with an embassy or a government official in Delhi. But they are not staying overnight, but they still fall under the definition as a same-day visitor. Then the total market includes, now let us summarize something. So in summary, the total market, which is a tourism market we are referring here to, are the travelers who go for leisure, pleasure. So this is the total market that includes travel for leisure. It also includes travel for business. As I mentioned, people are going to attend some conference. People are going for some exhibition. People are attending for an event or activities with regard to incentive travel. Likewise, people going for social meetings or social get-together, like visiting friends and relatives. Somebody has a sister or a brother staying in UAE or Dubai or Abu Dhabi or Saudi Arabia, and they are just going there to meet them. Or some people coming in from Australia to India to meet their relatives and friends. Likewise, the activity that is taken for religious, like I mentioned in the previous slide, people staying and going for Kumbh Mela or for Hajj, excuse me, or going down to St. Peter's Square for religious activity to have the glimpse and the prayers by the Pope. So all these are falling under the total tourism market. Further, we talk of educational activities. Someone going for higher education abroad in a foreign university or learning a specific science, a technology, going to sports, some World Cup, say football, FIFA is happening, or Olympic, or going down for Asia Cricket Cup, etc., and other purposes. So we have now counted the number of activities which are forming and coming under the definition of tourism defined by UNWTO or United Nations Tourism. So provided that destination of travel is outside the usual routine and places of residence and work. So definitely the important factor that plays into counting the activity of tourism is it should be outside the routine activities and outside your home. We continue understanding the definition of tourism further. So all tourism have a travel component. But all travel is not necessarily the tourism. So what this literally means? It means the definition excludes all the routine commuting type travel, such as local travel to the workplace. The finest example I can give you is people coming in from Surat on Flying Rani on a daily basis. Those angariyas or couriers who come in with diamonds to Mumbai on a daily basis. Likewise, people coming on Deccan Queen from Pune on a daily basis. And so on and so forth, who travel to workplace and purely local travel, such as going to the nearby shops, schools or hospitals. They also travel. Like an example in Mumbai, people come in from all the way from Karjat Igat Puri, Kasara on a daily basis. I give the example from the trains of Deccan Queen, Flying Rani, or Panchvati, where people come in on a daily basis to Mumbai, and that's their travel. But that will not be defining under definition of tourism provided by World Tourism Organization. Now, after understanding the definition, after counting on inbound, outbound, international travel, we now go and look at who are and which are the industry sector that are part of the travel and tourism. It starts with accommodation, attractions, transportations, travel planners and organizers, tourist places, and destination marketers. So these are industry sectors. Accommodation refers to hotels, resorts, boutique hotels, apartments where people go and stay for a long time, and so on. Attractions where people go down to look at certain activities like Niagara Falls in Canada or Taj Mahal in India, or example, the Ram Mandir in Ayodhya. These are all attractions. Some of them are natural, like Niagara Falls. Some are man-made. I give the example of Taj Mahal. Like Disneyland, again, a man-made attraction. And we pick up transportation that could be any transport, land, sea, or by flight. All these are components of transportation. These are all industry sectors that I'm counting on. Travel planners and organizers, this refers to travel agents. This refers to destination management companies where people go with the help of destination management company who plan and put up an itinerary to you for you to buy these products. Likewise, tourist places, say for example, people going down to Switzerland to Titlis Mountain, or people going down to say any attraction that is a tourist place. These are all industry sector for which the travel happens. And then of course, as I mentioned, the DMC, which is the destination management company, the destination marketers can also be included. We can include like tourism boards, for example, Incredible India or Amazing Thailand or God's Own Country for Kerala and Malaysia truly Asia. This could be destination marketers broadly under government body, but not necessarily that only government bodies promote a destination. There are tourism bureaus in Western countries who market a destination. And it's not the responsibility of the respective countries to market the destination. So after briefly understanding the industry sector, we pick up one by one to understand more into detail about various industry sectors. And here we talk of accommodation. Now accommodation means hotels, obviously. It goes from different categories of the hotels. Could be no star to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and the 7-star hotel like Burj Al Arab. Then we have lodges and dharamshalas. We all know that lodges, which are generally in a location which are easily connected to rail network or any transportation, where people stay and lodge themselves, or dharamshalas, like which are run on the basis of no profit, no loss, and being given to people who can't afford to stay outside their home. So they are all called dharamshalas. Then we have got private guest houses, which is also rolled as bed and breakfast, B&B, or Airbnb, the famous brand that we have. These are all selling private guest houses. Some of the private guest houses in Europe are the old villas and apartments that were owned by elite class, and now they have converted them into guest houses. Then we talk about resorts. Now, resort itself is a destination in many cases. People go down to a resort, say resorts in Kerala, resorts on the coastal area of Konkan, and likewise resorts in North India, say for example resorts in Shimla, resorts in Missouri, resorts in Dalhousie, resorts in Darjeeling. They are all different type of resort. And here farmhouses, I must mention here the farmhouse that is owned by Salman Khan, which is a great attraction, of course. And likewise, many farmhouses are used as a residence or an accommodation as well to make an additional earning. Then in accommodation, we also have holiday and vacation spots. In the pre-British Independence Day, we talk about the dak bungalows, which are still there, where government officers used to stay. And that was a vacation spot. Then we have the holiday spots where people go and just take a chalet or a little hut type of house where they stay. These are all falling under accommodation. And of course, the conference and exhibition center, which are falling under MICE accommodation. Like a conference center could accommodate any number of guests numbering from 450 to as much as 700 guests can stay in those conference and exhibition center. These all define accommodation. And then comes the second A called attractions. This is a very important industry sector to attract tourists coming in there. If the destination doesn't have an attraction, then there is no point in marketing that destination. Because a tourist who goes out of his normal environment or home would like to see something which can attract him or her to that. And that attraction includes the following. It includes heritage sites. Heritage site could refer to any archaeological site. Anything which is like a villa or a castle or could be a palace, any heritage site. Then we have got tourist places where tourists find is attractive. Could be anything of history, could be anything that has been built as an attraction for tourists. Then we have got theme places based on local attraction, where theme parks, you have a lot of theme parks around Mumbai, where a lot of Mumbaiites go for a short trip on a weekend and come back, which are there in Lonavala, and likewise in Igatpuri, Karjat, and we have in North India, linked to Himachal Pradesh, in Manali, or in Kullu, just to give an example. Then we have got wildlife parks. We have got more than 100 wildlife parks in India itself, and internationally in Africa. People travel to Masai Mara, people travel to Serengeti, people travel to Iringa. All these are wildlife parks, not to forget Kruger National Park, KNP in South Africa, which has big number of big five wildlife. And it attracts a lot of tourists to go down and look those wildlife in front of their eyes. And then we have got tourism, religious tourism places as an attraction. Definitely, it refers to any religious activity that could go on, could be happening within the country, could be a religious tourism place outside. People go down to many places around the world, keeping the religious tourism in mindset that I mentioned, people coming in from Australia, people coming in from Malaysia to the temples in South India, people coming into Sabarimalai, people going down to Ram Mandir in Ayodhya, or people going for Hajj, Umrah, etc. These are all religious tourism places that attract tourists to come, basically for anything religious in their mindset, either rituals or any such activity. Then we have got adventure tourism, which is people do love to go to adventure tourism. Could be rafting, could be rock climbing, could be bungee jumping, and so on. So these are all adventure tourism, where adventure loving people go out of their comfort zone and attracts them because that type of activity is available in a particular area, which is an industry sector. We also mention here about the sports activity center, that people go down, a lot of nearby countries with India come to Kashmir or Himachal to learn about climbing the mountains, going into snow, like people from Sri Lanka, people from Maldives, they come to India to get into these activities. We have these sports activity centers in Kashmir and in Himachal. Likewise, people go down to Switzerland, people go down to Austria, people go down towards France, Mont Blanc. All these are sport activity centers where winter sport activities happen. People go down into zip lining. People go and watch cricket. People go to watch football. All these are attraction in with regard to sports activity. And then, of course, we have got regional and local festival. Example like Pushkar Mela of Rajasthan, or local festival like Baisakhi, or kite festival on Sankrant, or Ganesh Visarjan. All these are regional local festival that attracts tourists. So with this understanding, we move one step ahead in understanding the industry sector. And now we pick up transportation. Transportation begins with air travel and air services. Now it has become very much easier to travel by air, and people love to fly to a destination rather picking up the traditional form of going by road. So transportation, air travel, and air services. Right now we have got excellent air services available within India. A lot of airports are coming up. Mumbai has proudly opened up the new Mumbai airport, which has just opened up 1 month back. So that's an air travel or air services. Now here in air services, we need to count on helicopters. People go down to Nepal, people go down to Uttarakhand, taking activities by helicopter. They are again air services. Then people go by shipping. Traditionally, the travel mode of transport was purely ship. Our ancestors like Gandhiji, when he traveled for higher education to UK, he went by ship. And likewise, all the international travelers who took travel and came to our country, like Vasco da Gama, like Hyun Song, like Ibn Battuta, they traveled by ship to come to India. And the most famous, the Columbus, who discovered America, traveled by ship. And then the modern form of a sailing hotel is going into cruises. We have small cruises that is happening within a country. Like India has 7,500 kilometers of coastal line, and we have cruise going from Mumbai, going down to Malwan, going down to Goa, going down further to Trivandrum, or on the east side, we have got cruise ships sailing from Vaishakhapatnam, going down to somewhere in Odisha, etc., etc., and international cruise like Greece cruises or cruise sailing out of Caribbean, etc. Then we talk about the rail transport. Now, with the advancement of Vande Bharat and the bullet train that is going to come in from Mumbai to Ahmedabad, we are looking at great advancement in railway transport. And we do have fast, super fast, including the rail transport that is being used crossing the British Channel from London into France under the water, under the British Channel. So that's an advancement with the technology and the marine transport. So railway transport has advanced, and that transportation supports a lot. We counted on railway transport. We have got now Vande Bharat, which is very proudly being offered as an alternate to the normal rail network that we used to have. Then we have got buses, coach, common and private, both luxury buses, double-decker buses, where you can take a sleep while you travel on a 180-degree bed. All these is the modern transportation that we are looking into. And then, of course, vehicles come also in form of a transportation where vehicles are available on rentals, like cars and others. And then, of course, privately owned vehicle that comes to us where we take services of privately owned vehicle. Vehicle on rental services, we can talk within our country, like Ola and Uber. Then we can talk internationally of Hertz, Airways, National Rent-A-Car. All these are rental services. They offer not only cars, they also have services on buses, etc. Because advancement of vehicle has gone beyond expectation. So all these form as a transportation.